why we're here, to give thanks to God Almighty and give Him praise. Amen?
Amen.
We are blessed to have the Johnson family of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your goodness and grace tonight. Thank you, Father God, that you have given all things for us. Whatsoever it is that we need, we give you this day. Thank you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, you brought the Johnsons all the way from Missouri safely, Father. Lord, and as they've been enjoying themselves, Father God, I pray they will continue to enjoy themselves tonight as they minister. May, as they give out, may it be poured back in a greater portion. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, Father God, for this weekend. When people are actually, some people anyways, are stopping and giving thanks, we pray that would become an epidemic of thanksgiving. For people will just be thankful for so much. Look up and find out whence it comes from. Father, tonight, may the thanksgiving begin here in our praises, Lord, as we worship and glorify you. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Sure good to be here. Good to feel the presence of the Lord. And glad for what God's doing here in Canada. Here in Harmony. Praise God. It's good to see you folks again. And meet some new ones. We're glad to be here. Certainly good to be with Pastor North's family again. See Josiah again, and looking forward to having some fellowship with him, their family. Praise the Lord. We're just taking to be here on Thanksgiving. We get to celebrate Thanksgiving twice, and I'm looking forward to that. So we already had a Thanksgiving meal yesterday, so actually I'll have three Thanksgiving meals. It'll help expand my full gospel ministry. Yes. Thankful for salvation. None of us would be here if it wasn't for the grace of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Johnson.
Well, praise God. We're going to go to the book of Psalms tonight. We want to thank you for your giving. The Lord bless you. I didn't mean that. I mean the Lord richly bless you for your sacrifice. I've sat where you sat, like most Canadians, Americans, we budget week to week, have set amounts aside, and so I understand the concept of giving to the Lord, and we do appreciate it. We're doing this full time now, at least for this portion of our ministry, and who knows what God has for us. Looking forward to coming back to Canada this next year. Ministry and Psalm here, so be much in prayer about that. Psalms 113, verse number 3. Psalms 113, verse number 3. Then we're going to go back to Psalms chapter 30, verse number 5. So let's start off with 113, verse number 3. Praise the Lord. There, say amen. Not there, say hang on. All right. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Amen. Let's read it again. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And then over in Psalms chapter 30. Verse 5, we'll read the latter part of that verse. Psalms 30, verse number 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the insight that we can have. And Lord, we know that you have given us examples, Lord, that we can look into the Word of God and see how that we need to live and conduct ourselves. Father, I thank you that you have given us an opportunity to minister to these good saints tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless them, bless your Word, and help us, God. I need your anointing. Ask, Lord, that you would speak through me and use us,
Lord, to edify the church tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Church said amen. I believe the psalmist knew here as he was referring to weeping, enduring for a night. I believe he knew how long that the night could be. And I think all of us have had many long nights in our life. And I'm not exactly referring to that specific time when the sun does set to the rising of the sun. But I'm referring to a period of time in our lives where the enemy comes in like a flood. Amen. We've all felt the oppression of the enemy from time to time. It comes in different forms, sometimes in family situations, sometimes in job-related, sometimes financial, sometimes it comes in physical attacks. And I realize and recognize that not every sickness that that we go through and endure is a direct result from the devil, but I do know from the fall of man that sickness has come on the face of the earth as a result of the original sin. So we understand that. Amen. But I do want to clarify that just like Job, just because you're sick doesn't mean you're a sinner. All right? There are some people out there that are proclaiming this type of prosperity gospel that that if you're sick, you must have sin in your life. And we know from Scripture that's not necessarily true. It could be true. And sin could be a result of sickness, but not always is it a result of sickness in our life. Amen. So David, the psalmist here, was in a place in his life when he was in a dark, dark night. Here in Psalms chapter 113, verse 3, he gives an insight into how he handled this dark night that he went through. From the rising of the sun, and of course we know that the sun doesn't physically rise. We know the earth rotates around and the sun is a stationary object. But we always, and in fact on the radio, the news, you know, the sunrise is going to be at 5:45 a.m. The sunset at 6:57 p.m. And we get used to that terminology. And from our perspective, amen, it looks like the sun is setting, right? It looks like in the morning the sun's rising. So we understand the scientific part of that. But over in 1 Samuel chapter 27 gives us some insight into David's dark nights. We find King Saul is jealous of David. We find David fleeing for his life. He is literally on the run. And to David's credit, he desires to protect his family. He desires to provide for them. But to his dishonor, he makes some mistakes in how he handles the situations. Now, I know that the Word of God is given to us for examples or examples that we can learn from. I just as soon learn from somebody else's mistakes as I would my own. Wouldn't you? Amen. I mean, when you make mistakes and I make mistakes, there's always repercussions that come from the wrong decisions we make. But if we can learn from other people's mistakes, it'll save some heartache in our own life, in our own family. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So David flees to Gath, the city of the Philistines. He's with his family, 600 men, their families. And they convince King Achish of Gath to let them abide there. They ask the king for a portion of land that they can use for their dwelling, and he gives them the city of Ziklag. And everything goes well until one day when David and his men leave Ziklag and they go and they invade the Amalekites, the Geshurites, and the Jezreites and utterly destroy them all. And it was likely that David felt obliged to fulfill God's command in ridding the land of the enemy. After all, Saul had failed to do that with the Amalekites, and you remember that Saul left some and did not totally obliterate the enemy to his demise, and as a result, David now had to deal with the same enemy that Saul should have took care of prior to this instance in David's life. But the issue is not that he destroyed them. The issue was his deception when he returned to the king, their King Achish, concerning this. When he came back to Gath, the king asked him, "Where have you been today?" And David made out to the king that He had gone down to the south part of Judah to fight against some enemy there. You see, David didn't want King Achish to know that he was fighting so close to home, enemies that were close by, lest King Achish and his army get a little bit unraveled and unnerved, that David might do the same thing to them and therefore oust them from their city of Ziklag. And so David's deception catches up with him. I want to tell you, it always pays right to tell the truth. Amen. I'm telling you, it always does right to tell the truth. You can't go wrong with being honest. Amen. I remember as a little boy, my sister and I, Doris, my dad and my mom, we went to visit some friends out in the country. We lived in Ottawa. And in fact, it was about a two-hour drive where we went. It was friends of ours who were farmers. And my sister and I enjoyed playing hide-and-seek in their huge house, which they gave us complete access to, and we really enjoyed that. But while I was upstairs, I found a gold pocket watch that I really took a fancy to, and that thing ended up in my pocket on the way home back to Ottawa. Sometime later, the wife called, and she said to my mother, she said, Ruth, do by chance, can you ask if the kids came across my husband's gold pocket watch? It's missing, and he may have lost it, but maybe while they were playing, they moved it around or whatever. And so my mom asked us, and I outright lied. I said, no, I don't know anything about it. But upon further interrogation, how many people know that moms know how to interrogate? Amen. They know how to get to the bottom of the matter. And it wasn't but a few minutes I was confessing with full-fledged tears and all. And what my mom and dad did was they loaded us in the car and drove 2 hours back to the farm and made me give the pocket watch back and apologize. And that was worse than having the whipping that I got on top of that. So, you know, two wrongs never make a right. Amen. It's always good to be honest. And David's deception catches up to him in chapter 29. His men, they return. The Philistines, they're getting ready to fight against Jezreel. But the Philistine princes are very leery about David and his men being among them. So King Achish, he commands David to return home. Go home to Ziklag. Go back to your family and be with them. They didn't want them fighting with them. They felt like maybe they would turn and fight against them instead of with them. And so when he goes back in chapter 30, they return home to find that the Amalekites from the north have come down and they've invaded Ziklag. They burned it to the ground. They took David's family, his wives, all of the men's wives, their children. They took them hostage. They took them captive. And David returns to this desolate place. It's been burned down. There's nobody around. Everybody's gone. And this is what he comes to. And we find here in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 4, it says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had instances in my life where I have cried so much and so long over a situation that the tears had ceased after a while. I had no more power, no more ability to be able to pray any further than what I had. It said in verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. So not only did David lose his family, but now his own men turned against him and sought to stone him for this terrible decision that he had made and this terrible atrocity that had come upon their families. Amen. And this is one of the greatest times of nighttime experiences that David faces in his life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place where it seemed that the night was just lasting so long and you thought morning would never ever come? You know, some have a misconception that becoming a Christian will take care of all these nighttime experiences, these throes of life, these these attacks against us that we're not anticipating. Amen. But that's not true. Jesus said in the latter part of John 16 and 33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. I like what Peter said over in 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much that you are partakers with Christ's sufferings, that his glory would be revealed. There is times when we go through some terrible fiery trials that we have sometimes are not our doing. Some of them are. You got to be honest with yourself. Sometimes we make wrong turns and we make mistakes. And sometimes we do fall to temptation and we do sin. Paul said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I'm so glad he also, John wrote over in 1 John, he said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. As a little boy, I was living with my grandparents after my mom and dad had separated. And I got into trouble with my grandma. Those of you that know my grandparent Birch's, my grandma Birch, she would get me over to the side somewhere, just her and me. And she'd say, now, sonny boy, Jesus wouldn't like what you just did. I was so sensitive, I'd break down crying, I'm sorry, Grandma, I'm sorry, you know, and all this. And she'd say, now, David, you don't need to just be apologizing to me, you need to apologize to Jesus. So as a little seven-year-old, I found myself kneeling on the concrete out in front of the church that they pastored, where they also lived in the basement, and calling out to Jesus, asking him to forgive me. Amen. But I've also found in my latter years of serving the Lord, amen, that I want my heart to always be sensitive, because there's times that I have fallen, I failed the Lord, and I've found myself in a place that I should not have been, or did something or said something I should not have done. But I've been very quick to ask the Lord to forgive me. Amen. I think sometimes the message of repentance is almost a lost message anymore in our Christian arena. Amen. But it's so important that, like David, we have a heart that's after God. Lord, as David said, Lord, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. And cleanse me. And so we find these troubles, these trials, these long, dark nights. Some of them are our own direct results of what we've done. But some of them aren't. Some of them are things that have happened to us that we had no control over. Amen. Because we know God creates man as a free will choice agent. And I don't understand why, Pastor North, that bad things happen to good people, but sometimes they do. If we had an answer to every time that transition of things happened in our lives, we'd be rich men, amen, to be able to give answers for that. But all I do know is this, amen, I still trust Jesus. Amen. God has a purpose and a plan regardless of what we go through in life, whether it's our own fault or whether somebody else does an atrocity to us or causes us to stumble and fall. God still has a purpose and a plan for us to fulfill in our lives. And David had this long, dark night. And sometimes those long, dark nights are nights of nightmares. And sometimes it's more than we can handle it, more than we can cope with it. And we get to that place in our life where we hardly feel like we can hang on anymore. It's during these long, dark nights, sometimes we turn to the wrong sources for help. Sometimes people turn to alcohol or drugs or illicit affairs or something to try to distract them from the long night. Sometimes they like King Saul, when he went to the witch of Endor to inquire concerning the battle. Amen. When he felt like God had ignored him. And sometimes in our dark nights, when we pray and seek God, it seems like God ignores us and we can't hear from heaven. And we have that feeling that God is a million miles away. But he's as close as the mention
of his name. Sometimes God chooses not to answer us until the morning comes. Amen. But in verse 6, David tells how he responded to his long dark nights. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm not sure what all that entailed. I don't know if he got a good old song together, you know, and started singing, playing his harp. I don't know exactly what all he did to encourage himself. I remember the story about a young man who had served the Lord, and he made a promise to God. He said, God, if I ever leave you, I promise I'll say goodbye. If I ever choose to walk away from you, I'll be sure to say goodbye. And so the day came when he was dismayed and discouraged and decided it wasn't worth living for him as a Christian any longer. He was going to throw it up, give it up, give it away. But he remembered his promise to the Lord. He went into his closet of prayer that he often inhabited, and he began to pray. He said, Lord, I've come to tell you goodbye today. But before I tell you goodbye, I just wanted to thank you for all that you've done for me. I wanted to thank you for saving me. I wanted to thank you for giving me peace in my life when I needed it so bad. Lord, I want to thank you for the times you healed me. And he started going through a list of thankfulness to the Lord. And pretty soon he started feeling better. And when it was all said and done, he said, Lord, if you don't mind, I'll just stay with you a little while longer. Amen. And sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Yes.
You know, we can go to the wrong counsel and seek it. And I've always thought this to be kind of weird, that especially those that are having problems in their lives and their families would seek counsel from non-Christian counselors. You know, people that are humanistic in their mindset and their thinking. It just boggles my mind. I mean, you know what you need to do is go to the Lord. But sometimes you need godly counsel as well. That's why God puts men like Pastor North and his wife here, amen, to seek counsel from another pastor's, amen, that we can go to and seek counsel from the Lord through them. God uses man to give godly counsel. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. I don't know if he had a good old Holy Ghost shouting time or shouting Hosanna. I don't know what he did, but he went to his place, wherever that was, and he encouraged himself. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight and help you, amen, that even in your midnight hour, even in a dark situation, amen, you can still praise and worship God, and you can encourage yourself in the Lord. I know sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow. And sometimes the enemy so oppresses us, we don't feel, amen, but I'm glad that our salvation is not based on feeling alone. Amen. It's a walk of faith. Praise God. I know he walks with me. He talks with me. I know he's going to be there. He said, I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen. You need to stand on the promises of God. I found in some of my lowest times, I begin to quote the word of God. I begin to, Psalms chapter 91 is one of my favorite passages. And I begin to quote that passage and other passages to encourage myself in the Lord. And David certainly did that. I remember years ago when we were pastoring out in Arizona, and we decided to have a men and boys camp out. And they said, Pastor, you need a tent. I said, No, I don't need no tent. He said, well, where are you going to sleep? I said, I'll sleep in the church van. And they said, well, I don't know. We got an extra tent. Well, I sure wish I'd have taken the tent. I got in that van, and the mosquitoes came, and I shut up the windows, and then it got so hot in there, I opened the windows, I got attacked, I shut the windows, and the back seats of those 15-passenger vans are not very comfortable. They're not made for a 6'3" fellow. And I wiggled around back there, I turned every which way, and I kept looking at my watch, and the night just went on forever. And I was so miserable. And when it come down to the morning and when the sun started peeking up, I never was so glad to get out of that van and stretch my bones and muscles and thank God that the morning had finally come. I'm telling you, amen, there is a morning that's going to come. Praise God. The story is told of a Sunday school class that had asked the question, in your time of discouragement, what's your favorite scripture? Maybe you have a favorite scripture. in your times of discouragement, your time of dark night. Well, one by one, they begin to give it. One man said, it was Psalms 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another woman said, God is my refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, Psalm 46, 1. Another woman said, John 16, 33, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome this world. And then there was an older man in the class, his name was Mr. John. He was 80 years old, his head was white, his white hair, and he stood up, and he wasn't as spry as he used to be, but he stood up, and he says, with as much strength as he could muster, he said, my favorite scripture is, and it came to pass. Amen. 85 times, he said, it's found in the Bible, and it came to pass. The class started to laugh a little, thinking that Mr. John's memory was getting the best of him, or lack of memory. And when they stopped snickering, he went on, and this is what he said. He said, at the age of 30, I lost my job with 600 hungry mouths and a wife to feed. I didn't know how I'd make it. At the age of 40, my eldest son was killed overseas in the war. It knocked me down. At the age of 50, my house burned to the ground. Nothing was saved out of the house. At the age of 60, my wife of 40 years got cancer, and it slowly ate her away. We cried together many a night on our knees in prayer. At the age of 65, she died. I still miss her today. He said the agony I went through in each of these situations was unbelievable. And he wondered where God was. But each time he looked into the Bible, he saw one of those 85 verses that said, and it came to pass. He said, I felt like God was telling me my pain and my circumstances were also going to pass, and that God would not forget or would not forget me and would get me through it. Psalms 113, verse 3, one more time. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalms 30, verse 5, the latter part of the verse. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Praise God. The sun will rise again. Just as sure. Now, I mean, if the rapture takes place between now and tomorrow morning, amen, we won't see the physical sun, but just as sure, even if the clouds are overcast, if you can get up above the clouds, you'll see that the sun is shining again. Amen. How do you do it? How do you get through the long night? Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep faithful to the things you know to do that's right. The devil would love to distract you and try to dissuade you to do something else and give up the church and give up going to and all these things. But I'm telling you, if we ever needed the body of Christ, it's in this day and hour in which we live. We need each other. We need the encouragement. We need the handshakes, the hugs. We need to feel that we're loved. I mean, we get ridiculed in the world, and we get criticized in the world. I'm glad we can come to the house of God, amen, and feel the love of the family of God, amen, embracing one another. Amen, stay faithful to what you know is right. Amen, stay in God's word. Memorize it. Amen. Hide it in your heart, David said. Oh, praise God. Let me take it a step further as we close tonight and say this. Not only is there a morning coming for your dark night, but there is a resurrection morning that's coming for the same God. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 11, Paul said, if that the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. It's a long night, maybe, for somebody here tonight. Amen. And that morning will come. Amen. God will bring it one of these days. But the greater morning is coming. That resurrection morning. I found this old song. It was written by Luther Presley. It says, on that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Y'all know that song? It's an old Methodist song. Amen. Soaking weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. The chorus says, I'll have a new home of glory eternal where the redeemed of God shall stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. There'll be no more strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Oh, praise. And when I got to the second verse, I about shouted. I mean, it said, what a hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Graves all bursting, saints all shouting, heavenly beauty all around. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new body. Amen. Can we sing a little bit of that? Come on, help me, Gordy. Let's stand together. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. If you need encouragement tonight, you come to the right place. Amen. There's people here that love you. Pastor and his wife and family that love you. God, most of all, loves you. Amen. He wants us to be edified and encouraged. Amen. On this Saturday night. Amen. There's a morning coming. Praise God. Don't leave here tonight if you're heavy with burdens and cares. The Bible says, cast your cares on the Lord, for he careth for you. Let's close in prayer. Prayers available. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this message. We are thankful, Lord, for what you have done within us, Lord, through the word of God. Lord, we are thankful, O God, that you are doing anything. Thankful, Lord God, that the sun is rising, O Lord, and our night is ending. Lord, you're seeing us through because you have been faithful. He who has promised is faithful. Thank you, Father God, for all that you have done. Lord, we just ask for your blessing upon us as we go from this place tonight. Pray the word would stir in us, Lord, throughout the night. Lord, instead of the heaviness of things that are on our minds, Lord, may the goodness of our God give us a good sleep tonight. We will wake up in the morning ready to serve you on the Lord's day. With excitement in our heart and faith to believe you for great mighty things, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.